I believe today on this day, it is a great time to celebrate a great nation. Still, even with all of our challenges, still inherently great. Not great because of us, but great because of God. That the Lord in his providence has chosen to bless this great nation, and I believe there are lots of reasons for it. Today we're 245 years old. But one of the greatest reasons I believe that God blesses our nation is we still have over 2/3 of the gospel of the world is financed out of this nation. I believe that God is patient with us many times, that God is calling us to look back to him, and that even on a bad day, we're still one of the best things going. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for on this day. When we celebrate our nation's independence, giving birth to the greatest republic in history. But today, I believe God has given me an assignment. I'm actually starting a new series today, and I'm starting the series with an unusual message. And the series I'm simply titling, Free to Be. How many know that God wants you free, but you have a purpose for your freedom? How many know that we can have one nation can have independence from another nation. You can have independence from things in this world and still be bound up. But God wants us to be free because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Whom the Son sets free is free. And so we're going to be talking for the next couple of weeks about the purposes of God and how we can get rid of everything. See, the devil is forever trying to come and lock you down in the places where God is trying to release you. And I believe that God wants you to be free for a purpose. It is the greatest hour in this nation for the church. If the church will be who God has called us to be. So on the day we refer to as Independence Day, I have an assignment to preach a message to you called The Sin of Independence. And as thankful as and respectful as I am today for the freedoms we enjoy, there is something very important that we need to understand about independence, because what happens when independence and our love for independence goes rogue. You see, there are two kinds of independence. There's independence from God, and then there's independence from God. Did you get that? You can have independence from God or independence from God. You're going to get that in just a minute. I want you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Go right to the front cover of your Bible and flip over 11 chapters. And that's where we're going to be today. When you find Genesis 11, put your hand right on that place in your Bible, or if you're using one of your devices, just put it right there. If you don't have a Bible on hand with you, it's okay. We're going to put the scriptures up. Just put your hand over your heart today. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that your word comes to set us free. Your words are truth, God. And Lord, that truth makes us free. So Lord, let the truth of your word come and speak into the deep places of our heart, God, that on this Independence Day, we can understand that true independence comes only from dependence on you. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are setting the stage for something absolutely amazing in the days ahead. Speak to us prophetically from your spirit, Lord, and we release you to work. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Look there at Genesis 11. Independence is beautiful unless independence becomes evil. And one of the greatest sins we could commit is when we turn away from the freedom that God gives us and begin to seek our own freedom away from God, a freedom of our own. And what many believers fail to recognize is that although our salvation came as a free gift from God, there's nothing I can do to pay for it. I don't have enough. But I want you to understand that salvation is not free. It's very costly. It costs God his only son to come and redeem us. It cost him everything to come and pay for the sin, and it requires from you your life if you choose to follow him. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, you are not your own. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. This is God speaking to us today. So with that in mind, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read, I'm going to read from the NIV today. We're going to read in the first couple of verses and kind of work our way down a little bit. Genesis 11, 1. This is after the flood of Noah. And it says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Verse 2, as people moved eastward, if you underline things in your Bible, there are some translations that say from the east, but I want you to know they were already east and moving east. They found a plain in Shinar and settled there. It was a large plain in the desert, surrounded by mountains. In the beginning, God had given a commandment to Adam. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and take dominion. God had repeated this same command to Noah and his three sons a few chapters later in Genesis 9. He said, Noah, I want to take your sons and all of their descendants, and I want to scatter them out so that you can be fruitful and replenish the earth. Do what I told Adam to do. Reproduce the image or the nature of God in you throughout the world. But the problem occurred in Genesis chapter 11 when they did not want to do what God commanded them in Genesis chapter 9. How many know God can start something in a place? He can initiate something, and generations later, there could be a turning away from that. Instead of growing better and stronger in the way that God had set for us, we can disintegrate. In chapter 10, you would read of all of the nations that came from the three sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, these nations decided that what God wanted done and what they wanted done were no longer the same thing. They believed in God. They kind of wanted God to be there, but they wanted to establish things their own way, do things the way they thought was right, fix their problems themselves, and it started to create a mess. You see, God wanted them to scatter the nations throughout the earth. They wanted to centralize the nations in one location to become unified. And actually, in their hearts, it was a unified front against God. We're told in verse 2 that this conglomerate group of mankind decided to go east to the land of Shinar. Now, I want you to understand something about east, because in the book of Genesis, and actually in the Old Testament, but particularly in Genesis, moving to the east was actually symbolic of a move away from God. To go east meant I'm walking away from the presence of the Lord. To go east was a movement toward exile. It meant I no longer want to be under God's covering or God's protection. I will protect myself. To go east meant to be exiled and leave God's presence. So Adam and Eve, when they were sent out of the garden, were sent to the east. And a cherubim with flaming swords was guarding the east entrance of the Garden of Eden. So here If you look on forward in the tabernacle, you'll find that all the doors of the tabernacle of Moses faced to the east. So if you were moving west, you were moving toward the ark, toward the presence of God. And if you were walking out of the doors, you were moving to the east or away from the presence of God. Listen, when you journey away from God's presence, you always journey away from God's blessing. When you leave God's presence because you're going east, you also leave his blessing, because God's blessing is connected to his location. Now, I want you to know there's nothing spiritual about west or east or north or south, but in this part of the Bible, it was a spiritual symbol. But when you are moving away from his design purpose, from his design nature, from his design location for you, you're putting yourself in trouble. In other words, to get God's blessing, you have to be in the vicinity of his purpose. And by the way, that didn't just apply for these people in Genesis 11. It applies for us today. It applies for you and me. It applies for your family. It applies for our nation. God will not always be as patient as he's being with us now. Understand that God's nature is still God's nature. He does not change. And though we might change, God will not change to fit us. This is a message not just for our nation. This is a message for the church. It's so important to understand this. It can often be a way that feels good to you, but it can be a trap to take you captive, to rob you, to push you into a dry place, into separation from God's blessing. By the way, the land of Shinar eventually became known as a land called Babylon. If you were looking at where it is geographically today, it sits in the nation of Iraq. Throughout the Bible, Babylon, or the land of Shinar, is pictured as representing people in rebellion against God. So I want you to understand, for us today, Babylon is not as much of a geography as Babylon is a nature, a mindset. Babylon in Scripture always represents a spirit. It represents the spirit of the world. And God says that to be in love with the world is to hate him. You can't love both things. And it's important to understand, in the times that we live in, that more than anything else, we are in the world. We're to love the people of the world, but we're not to love and embrace the spirit of the world. And when the church begins to embrace the spirit of the world and act like the world and talk like the world and how we see things and do things, it is hatred towards God. I didn't say that. God said that. And it keeps us from being free. In fact, it will lock us up. Our efforts to try to attain to these things and places that we feel like we have as rights that are bestowed upon us. Listen, the only right you have are the rights that God gives you, and that's life, amen? And even that is in his hands. He has the rights. He has the rights. I see people all the time coming and going this way and making this decision and doing that. I'm like, I didn't get the memo that we had permission to make those decisions for ourselves. I didn't know that. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Yes, amen. So wherever you see Babylon in Scripture, you also see rebellion against God, from Nebuchadnezzar, who was a king of Babylon later, all the way through the book of Revelation, where Babylon is seen as this mysterious woman in rebellion towards God. There, anytime you see it, you always see rebellious hearts and minds toward God. So the land of Shinar is the place of rebellion against God. And so God instructed, hey, I want you to move out. I want you to scatter. This is the method I want you to follow. They said, we don't want to scatter. We want to gather. We want to be who we want to be, where we want to be, and how we want to be. So they insisted on independence from God. What Adam and Eve had done, rebelling against God and getting removed from the Garden of Eden, also, like I said, from the East, these people were wanting to do on a much bigger global scale. Genesis 11 is a very powerful chapter in the Bible, and it's one that we need to understand deeply. God said this way, and they said no way, we're going our own way. But remember, whenever you choose your way over God's way, you're moving east. And when you choose a different way than God's way, you're leaving the presence of the Lord. And when you leave the presence of the Lord, you leave the blessing of the Lord. So they created a plan. Usually rebellion involves a human idea or plan. It usually involves a strategy or a movement. So they're, how are we going to do this? They said, we've grown into this world of people. All the nations of Genesis 10 represented as the offspring of three sons of Noah. What are we going to do? Look at verse 3. Here was their plan. They said to each other, come. Everybody say come. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Now let me tell you why. A brick that was made of stone, and you see in that part of the world, if you read about Egypt and when the Israelites were enslaved, they were forced to make bricks. They would use mud and other things like straw or other items that would hold the mud together and let it bake in the sun. But here's why they wanted to use bricks instead of stone, even though stone was stronger. First of all, they could do what they wanted to do more quickly with bricks. Second of all, when they made bricks, they would inscribe for themselves the nation, the culture, or the person who was building the structure would be inscribed on every single brick. They wanted to be completely surrounded with reminders of how great they were. They inscribed it on every brick. They built it with brick. They put them together. Literally, their names were inscribed on every piece of the things they were building. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. Remember, God said, scatter. They said, so that we won't be scattered. In other words, because we don't want to do what God wants done, let's structure an agenda that will satisfy ourselves. We'll show God that we can do this and we'll be just fine. Thank you, God, for your help over here, but I've got it now. So in order to do that, they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a city, and within the city, we're going to build a tower, and we're going to make a name for ourselves. In fact, we're going to make this city with bricks so that that name can be inscribed on every single brick that we use to build. Let's talk about these three things for a moment. First of all, they wanted to build a city. Now, obviously, if you've got all these nations represented in chapter 10, it would be nearly impossible to build a city that could house all these people and their future offspring. So the better way to look at this scripture is they were building a capital city, a central city, a representative city in the land of Shinar that would become a capital for this powerful one world culture. Now, I don't have time to get into the Bible prophecy of the things that are happening in the world right now. You can go back a few months ago and listen to the series of messages I preached called Stranger Things and the Stranger Things updates, and you're going to hear kind of the trajectory that we're in as a nation and as a world in regards to that. But I want you to know there is a movement towards globalization. That globalization is not intended so that we can be in unity and all love each other. That globalization is intended for the same purpose that the people were trying to build one city together in this time, so that they could be empowered to be strong together, to fulfill ourselves, make a name for ourselves, And let me tell you, it's already being set up. Well, that makes me scared, Pastor Lynn. Don't be scared. Unless you don't know Jesus, then you should be. But if you know Jesus, you better be excited. It's our greatest time. So the whole world had a common language and speech, verse 1 says. Common language also implied a common culture. They said, let's build a center that's going to govern how we're going to operate. This city, it's their government. This is how we're going to operate. This is going to be our capital. This is going to be how we're going to govern ourselves. And we're not going to be governed by God anymore. We're going to govern ourselves. We will build a capital where we can set up our own rules, our own ways, and our own culture that we like. We will build ourselves a city from which to rule ourselves. The city will represent security for us. The city will preserve those things that are familiar to us. The city will represent our defense. The city will be the center of our spirituality. We will rule by our own conscience and our own values. How many already see where I'm going a little bit? This will be the place where the legislation of the human race will emanate from. Let's build our own city. Today, in 245 years later, I don't think we who live within the context of the United States recognize how powerful our influence is globally. How what happens here, what happens in Hollywood, what happens in politics affects the whole world. I've spoken to two presidents of other nations. I've spoken to key leaders in other countries. They said, what happens in America, who gets elected in America, the things and decisions and laws that America makes are very important to us, even though we've never even visited America. Because what happens there will happen here. We have to understand this influence. So anyway, these people were like, let's build our own city. The problem today is that many of us have built our own cities. We've decided to erect our own city hall all by myself with my rules and values by which I run my life and where I look out for number one and I protect me. And it doesn't matter how it affects everyone else or how it will affect another generation. I'm creating a city. I've created a capital by which I govern my life. I've decided to run my own life because I don't trust that what God wants is the best for me. I can't trust by relinquishing my hands and giving myself under him and allowing him to be the king and the Lord of my life. I don't know or trust that that's going to work out for my best interest. Let me build my own city with my own governance in my heart so I can do my own thing. They went on to say, in addition to building our city, it's the last thing. It said, let's make a name for ourselves. I'm going to come back to the tower in a moment. They said, let's make a name for ourselves. You see, in the Bible, a name is never just a name. A name is not just something you call somebody. In the Bible, names had specific relevance. Names carried meaning. That's why when God chose to reveal himself and how his nature worked to man, he did so through his name. If you want to understand or study the character of God, you do that by studying the names of God in the Bible. Because God revealed himself through his name. When God wants to transform something in you, he'll change your name. He did that to men in the Bible because names have relevance and importance. Even the name Babylon has meaning. It means confusion. Babel. They did not want to bear God's name because then they would have to answer to God's authority. God's direction and purpose was to scatter, to make them fruitful throughout the earth. But they wanted to gather to empower themselves. We need our own name, not the name God has given us. We want our own methods, not the methods God has prescribed for us. So listen today and hear me, Church of Jesus. Listen, if you carry the name Christian, if you say, I am a believer, I am born again, I am a follower of Christ, It means that you put God's authority and God's government over your life and your family. We are called to live under divine authority. We don't measure ourselves by what everybody's saying around us. I'm not blind to the things around me, but I don't focus on the things around me because I have a higher place of authority. And just like Peter walking on the water, as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he stayed on top of the water. But as soon as he started looking around him, he began to sink. I see churches and believers and people beginning to sink because their eyes are coming off of Jesus and moving to the right and the left. And they'll justify it, but they're justifying it while they're sinking. I'm calling for today, on this day, for us to understand the power of freedom that God has given to us, and in that to give him the freedom to be the Lord over our life. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Where he gets to be Lord, that means where he's in control. You see, when you give your life to the man, Jesus Christ, and you name yourself a follower of Christ, it's very serious. It's not just a fire escape that I hope when I die I'll be in a better place. It's more than that. It means that you're submitted to the authority of the one whose name you carry. God gives you that name. They said, let's give ourselves a name. Why must we give ourselves a name? Because we're going to be our own authority. When God says, do one thing, go here or stay there, and we do what is right in our own eyes, we need our name because his name we're not listening to. So they said, let's build a city. We're going to have our own legislation. We're going to be our own law to ourselves. Let's build our name. We'll be our own authority. And then he said, let's build a tower. I want to talk about this tower for just a moment. It was a structure in that day, and you can read about it in history. You can Google it, called a ziggurat. A ziggurat was a structure that had a strong, very wide foundation and went up in steps. And as each step went higher, it got narrower. Now, this is important because in the lands that surrounded that, many people would look to the mountains. They believed if you could get up high on the mountains, you would be closer to God and God would be closer to you. But in the lands that had no mountains, that were flat, they would build structures like the Great Pyramids, like ziggurat, that would become like a man-made mountain to reach up to the top. And when you had at the top, there was actually a doorway, if you will, on these ziggurat called, listen, Babel. Babel meant the gate of God. And the reason why Babel means confusion is because it wasn't looking for the God. You see, this was something that was very powerful. It was this tower that they weren't trying to make it so high that they could get, you know, beyond the stratosphere of Earth. No, they were making a portal whereby they could speak into the spirit realm, because you see, before the flood of Noah, there was much more communion between the spirit realm and the natural realm. And at the destruction of the earth, you had God shutting down and bringing separation between these two worlds. And that's a whole other message that gets kind of interesting. But the Tower of Babel was an attempt to create a portal to communicate into the spirit realm without God. It was, in essence, this spiritual tower. It was a symbol of worship. Watch this. They said, we're going to be our own authority, we're going to run our own lives, and we're going to have our own spirituality. In essence, they wanted to redefine faith. They wanted to redefine God in the spirit realm. They wanted, in essence, their own religion. We need to justify our independence in the name of God. So it's not like we're going to stop going to church. It's not like we're going to stop being religious or deny God. We're not going to stop singing hymns or doing religious things. We're just going to change it and do it on our terms. We're going to have religion, but it's going to be religion that centers on our name before His name. It won't be a religion under God. It will be a religion in spite of God. It will be related to heaven, but a different ideology, because the religion from God always comes from heaven to earth, but we're going to build a tower that's going to go from earth to heaven. In other words, it will be a form of religion that heaven is going to have to adjust to us. A spiritual ideology that is founded on earthly matters, but with a religious face. It may look like a God-centered religion, but it's actually a man-made mutation because it's human-built. Earth to heaven instead of heaven to earth. Let us build for ourselves a tower. It wasn't a tower that was isolated out here by itself, but it was a tower that would be set in the center of the city that they were building. It was the centerpiece. It was the pinnacle. It was the highest piece. That's what they sought to do. They had no need for God's input, even though all they had to use was God's resources. Look at verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, saying the same thing, all of them are talking, all of them are on the internet talking with each other. If one people speaking the same language have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So God unveils their motivation. And their motivation is to become unstoppable. They plan to do this by connecting together people in common communication, people with the same agenda to rebel against God so that their human agenda can become unstoppable. Listen, today we live in a place in a society that began with a plan to follow God, that in His providence, independence upon Him, right? We're talking about our Creator, inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. We started with this. It didn't mean everything was right. But it meant that there was something that at least was directed towards Him. How far we stray. What are you building that you think God will not stop? What are you building on your own that you believe God won't interfere with? Well, if I do this, if I go there, I can make this happen. If I go to school at this place, if I achieve this, if I work there, if I live at this level, I got it made. God says they have purposed in their heart to make me unnecessary. The people had purposed in their heart to make God unnecessary. They've purposed to create an agenda. They have purposed to build a life. They've purposed to make decisions in a world without me. They have purposed to be independent, but to be independent of me. Verse 7. Now God says, come. Everybody say, come. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. I want you to see how prophetic this verse is right here. You see, in the previous verse, God came to see. He said, let's look, let's check this out. But now, time of God's patience has run out, and He's like, now let's act. First, we're going to see what they're up to. Let's investigate what they think they're going to do. But now it's time for us to respond to it. Man has said, let us build. God says, let us go down. You will notice after God speaks, that's it. Man had the first word in verse 3, come, let us build. And then in verse 7, God says to the Godhead with him, the Trinity, come, let us go down. We can see what happens when they speak together in unity. We can see what these men are going to be able to do if they're allowed to continue working. They can find a place to fully separate themselves from us. So let's go down and show them what happens when we, the Godhead, operate in unity. Come on. They talked and planned and prepared on the earth and they began to build. But let us go down, God said, and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Watch this. God says, let's bring about confusion. The confusion in your life, the confusion in your world, the confusion in your family, the confusion in your mind, could have more to do with God than the devil sometimes. I know that's not a proper theology you often get taught. But let me tell you, the moment you start erecting your own tower, the moment you start focusing on and erecting your own name, if you're erecting your own city, that is, you're building an independent life where God is an unnecessary appendage that you scab on sometimes, expect confusion. There will always come a point where the Lord sees what we are doing, and then there will come a point where God will act according to what we're doing. You know it will come, and you know when it will come, because confusion will begin to emerge. The Lord says, let's create confusion. Here's what you need to know. If God caused your confusion, only God can fix it. If God is your problem, only God can be your solution. America, if God is your problem, only God can be your solution. Everything else you try will wind up in confusion. You see, if God is the reason that your world is confused, that your life is confused, that your mind is confused, that your family is confused, if that's the reason for your confusion, it does not matter what counselor you go to. It doesn't matter what money you pay. It doesn't matter what plan you create. If God caused it, you cannot buy your way out of it. You cannot strategize or plan enough to bring back together what is disintegrating. If God caused it, you can't move away from it. You can't change jobs. You can't leave the church. You can't leave your spouse. Because if he's confusing you, that same confusion when you go, goes with you. Do you hear me today? I know this is a heavy message on what's supposed to be a happy day, and it is a happy day. But I want a day that can stay happy a little bit longer. And we have to get a hold of this today. God confused them. Why did God confuse them? Because they insisted on being independent from him in how they were responding to their situation. And when you insist on the sin of independence, you get the consequence of independence. And when the sin is independence, God's consequence is confusion. Today, people's lives are in confusion simply because they will not submit to the lordship of Jesus. They will not submit to the word of God. They refuse to submit and allow him to be in control because they're having too much fun, I guess, taking control themselves. Lordship means he is in control, not 80% control. 100% control. Your circumstances can't be in control. Your relationship can't be in control. Your politics can't be in control. Your opinion can't be in control. God has to have 100% lordship. This is God's holy word for us. And if we will follow it, it will bring life. The Bible says his words are life to those who find them and medicine to their flesh. The medicine we need is the word of God. So God said for them to scatter, they decide to gather. So they begin building a life independently of God. God is saying, you want to be in my world. You want to depend on my resources, but build your own city and have your own name and do your own thing with your own ideas. But you want to do it on my earth? Oh, no, no, no. We will send confusion into your strategy. We will send confusion into your decisions. So the Lord, verse 8, scattered them from there all over the earth. And they stopped building the city. That's deep right there. That's why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. They became confused who he was, he confused who they were. From the Lord, from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Let me start with the Lord scattered them. What did the Lord do? He scattered them. What did the Lord say he wanted to do with them in the begin with? Scatter. They said, we aren't doing that. I don't like that. It's not fair. I don't think I should have to. I'm not going to do it that way. I don't want to gather. I want to gather together. I want to join forces. This is my thing. I don't like that. God says, I'll bring confusion. And confusion made them scatter. What did God say he wanted them to do to begin with? See, you need to know something about God. God will do it with you, or God will do it in spite of you. When God gives us a directive of how we are to live and how we are to love, and we come over here and we schism ourselves and divide ourselves and act in ways that don't represent him, God will get us to the place he wants us to be with us or in spite of us. Do it with you. But when it's all said and done, you're either going to do it God's way or live in confusion for the refusal to do it God's way. The problem is they're now babbling, right? They become confused in their speech, and nobody is talking in a way that the other person can understand. So you got people sitting down in the same room, but nobody understanding what the other person is saying. It sounds familiar. Your wife says, well, you don't understand what I'm saying. Yes, I do understand what you're saying. I could repeat back to you what you just said. Everybody's talking, but nobody understands because there's babble going on around you. Young people say, Mom and Dad, you don't understand me. Parents say, I was your age once. Of course I understand you. Listen. Oh, you want to go deeper? White people say, you don't understand me. Black people say, you don't understand me. Nobody understands. Everybody's talking on social media. Everybody mad at everybody else. It's Babel. It's Babel. Everybody's talking, but it's a lot of confusion because we're not speaking the same language. Why? Because God is judging the rebellion in the hearts of his people and in the hearts of our culture by allowing confusion to reign until he understood, until we understand what he told us to do from Jump Street. God is calling us to be his people. As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is me and my house perfect? No, we're not. We have a lot of repenting to do sometime. In this house perfect? No, we have a lot of repenting to do sometime. But let me tell you, we're going to keep focusing and pressing towards God according to God's word. Why? Because I don't want confusion. I don't want confusion. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Another thing I want you to notice, they were scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth and they stopped building the city. They stopped building. What that meant was they had started building. In other words, they had made some progress. God gave them a period of time to come to their senses. He allowed them to progress to some degree. They had all of this stuff that looked like it was becoming successful. They had stuff that looked like it was going somewhere because they had started building the city. You may say, well, what does that mean to me? They had started building their career. They had started building their financial platform. They had started building their reputation. They had started building the relationship. They had started building their Instagram following. They started building their reasoning. They started building their notoriety. And just as it looked like they were starting to make progress, just after it looked like they were going to win, just after it looked like they were going to make this thing work, just after it looked like nothing was going to stop them, God came down. It's bad when you get halfway finished with something for somebody to come down and mess it up. But what God's going to do is he's going to let you go ahead and move forward and see how it works for you in your own ideas and your own plans and your own strength. He'll let you look like you're making it somewhere. Then he'll mess you up in the middle of your building process to show you the frustration when you try to get somewhere independent of him. He'll mess you up. I know this doesn't sound a lot like God who loves us, but it's because he loves us that he brings us back to him. You see, this is the place that we're going to build. And if you think I'm preaching a message of doom and hopelessness, I'm not. There is hope. And as long as we, the Church of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the city that is set on a hill, the joy of the whole earth, still exist, there is still hope for our nation and our families and our people and our world. And that hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is no other hope. There is no other. It's what America didn't understand about 9/11. It's what America didn't understand about all of our tragic shootings and riots and political problems. It's what America doesn't understand about COVID-19. These things are theological. These things are theological issues. But people don't want to hear about the theology of our shootings and riots. They just want to talk about it. They don't want to hear a scripture. Hear Christians say, don't give me a scripture about that. I don't want to hear a scripture. Who are you? They just want to talk about it and keep going around the same blind circle. They don't want to hear the theology of COVID-19. We'd rather make it a conspiracy or a political action. They don't want to hear the theology of 9/11 on that tragic day where Americans everywhere were united saying, we will not forget, but we forgot. Because we, as a people, become like cattle being prodded this way or that way with whatever wave comes through. And the only stabilizing force that you have is the uncompromising, holy, powerful word of God. That has to be our source, or we all end up following the herd. And the herd will change next year. And 3 years after that, it'll change again. We like to keep everything focused on a human level, even in the church. Powerless, weak, worldly-minded church. Trying to solve ourselves by building our own cities and making our own names. We didn't make the connection that the more advanced America has become, the more independent from God it thinks it can be. We've not made the connection that the more high-tech our environment, our global connectivity, our more woke culture might just be America's Tower of Babel. God said, I can take folks you never heard of to wipe you out. I can shut down Wall Street with people that live in caves. I can take someone with a laptop 6,000 miles away and shut down your fuel pipeline. I can put your politics in a blender. I can reverse a leader, and soon I can reverse a leader again. I can take a people that are not half as advanced as you and bring you to your knees. I can take a tiny virus and shut down your economy, shut down your cities, shut down your air traffic, and shake your whole world. Do you not see the theology of what's around us? It's important. We live in a world of confusion and a nation of confusion. Should we be discouraged? No, we should be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's who God has called us to be. So the hope for America on its 245th birthday is sitting right here in this room and in similar rooms all across the nation. It's time to wake up and be the church that God has called us to be. It's who God has called us to be. I have a word from the Lord. Turn from your independence and become dependent on God again. Turn your face back to God and come under His lordship so you can be free to be who He has called you to be. So the challenge for America is this, and I'm finishing. The challenge for America today begins with a challenge to each one of us. Lord, am I going to live independent of the rule of God? Am I going to be independent from God? Or am I going to live in independence from God? Am I going to find freedom away from God? Or am I going to have the freedom of God? You see, this makes all the difference in the world. And through all of our mistakes, how many know God doesn't even require you to be perfect? If it was, we wouldn't be 245 years. We wouldn't have made it this far as a nation. But God's grace comes on us when we set our hearts to focus on His way. And God gives more grace and more grace. So when Paul was explaining to the people in Acts chapter 17 what happened in Genesis chapter 11, when he was explaining why God scattered the nations, he said this in verse 27. He says, God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him. God positions you where you're positioned, men and women of God. He assigns you your assignment so that you will seek Him, and so that the people around you would see Him and reach out for Him and find Him. You see, God is hidden, but He's not hidden where He can't be found. He's hidden where He can be found. The reason why God scattered them was to make them dependent on Him. So the moment I move to independence from Him is the moment that I move against God. It's the moment that you and Satan become partners because you join the works of the evil one. But you and I can change our confusion. We can be the stability in the midst of the storm. We can be the light in the darkness. We can be the salt in a savorless world. We can be the city that is set on a hill that is the joy of the whole earth. Mount Zion. There's so many things that we are in the world that God called us to be. And let me tell you something, Jubilee, we are being that. It doesn't come without some resistance and battles, but listen, we are being who God called us to be, and you are a part of it, and you're called to be a part of it today on this 4th of July. Close your eyes with me. Lord, I thank you today for what you're doing. Listen, we can change the confusion. We can be free today simply by changing the focus. Simply by changing the focus from what's around us to what's above us. So right now I've preached this message. I know it's a heavy message, but it is a freeing message for you today. And if you feel like you have been bound up in something, some of you feel bound up because you feel like there's been decisions you've made back here somewhere in your life that you feel like you don't even deserve to be free. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I just felt the Holy Spirit on that. I don't know who that's for. It's for somebody here. Maybe you're watching online. But you have felt bound up and you felt like that you have been restricted because you've been marked from past decisions. And God says, no, there's still a calling for you. I'm making you free to be. Quit looking behind you today. Come on, God's going to give you independence from that bondage and pull you into dependence on Him. Watch what God can do with you. Listen, God can do it. We have a church full of people. We have a church full of leaders that have come from places that were rough that God has used in powerful ways and that He still uses in powerful ways today. Come on, right now, God wants you free in your heart. You have to say, God, I give up. I release. Come on, God, I submit. I'm tapping out, God. Lord, I need You. And I'm not holding anything back today. And as you do, I'm telling you, everything that's holding you back, God's going to bring it to you. The second thing we're going to pray for today is that we as a church are going to be a church that loves people to life. That we're going to love people, that we're going to shine our light, that we're going to serve people, that we're going to be who God's called us to be. Come on, do you believe that? God is taking us somewhere today. So I want to ask everybody here in the auditorium to just stand to your feet right now. If you're watching online, I'm going to ask you to just pause if you're doing anything and just focus in here for just one moment. We're not going to take a long time, but today is a day of freedom and we're going to see freedom. If there are things and mindsets or problems back here behind you that you feel like has held you back, if there is something that you could identify that's between you and where God wants you to be, and today you're like, Pastor Lynn, I got to get there. I just want to get there. I want to release whatever this stuff is, the lies of the devil that have been on me, on my family, on my relationship, whatever it is today. Come on, God wants to strengthen you. If that's you, if this is speaking to you, I want you to do something very bold, very courageous. I want you to come right down here to the front. I want you to meet me here. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray. I want you to get out of your seat. Somebody will let you out. Come right now. Come right now. Somebody feels right now that you feel like there are things that have happened to you that have kept you held back. You're not going to be held back anymore in Jesus' name. You feel like there are things that have stopped you from being who God has called you to be. Come on, you feel like it's too late. You've passed your time. I don't care what it is. That's you. I want you to come right now. God is going to make you free today. He's going to set you free on this day of freedom. Come on. It's going to be a day of freedom for you today. All over this place, whatever it is, Jesus is here in this room. Come on, do you feel that today? Come on, you got to push forward. It's time. It's your day. It's your time. God can set you right back up in ways that you feel like time is. But listen, God said, I will restore the years. I will restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. Come on, God's coming to restore time. Some of you feel like you've lost time. You feel like you've lost years. Somebody up here, you feel like you've lost years. God will restore the years that the enemy's tried to destroy over you. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive from God? Come on, I'm gonna ask our ministry team to come up here and we're gonna go pray. If you're at your seats right now, I want you to extend your hands up here, amen? Because if this isn't you, it probably has been you at some point. It might be you at some point. So let's pray together. Come on, let's just join these right now for the next 3 minutes. I want you to pray fervently. If you know somebody's names up here, call their name out right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, right now, just pray to Him. Jesus, we worship You, Lord.